puts it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, away we go from the home studio here tonight. Excited to bring you Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And boy, does it matter right now for the U.S. men's national team. 2-0 victory over Mexico. We got a lot to talk about tonight on the heels. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, number to call in here tonight, Heels of the Killer Bees. Joel and Jeremy, thanks for that plug on U.S. Men's National Team in Mexico talk tonight, streaming at ESPN975.com. And we're going to look at the Nations League Finals, and we're going to do it from both the U.S. and the Mexico perspective tonight. So I would just put this out generally right now. If you want to call in tonight, give me your perspective. What stood out to you in this game? There's obviously some obvious things. There's some underground things, I think, as well. 713-780-ESPN. Dab Ramos will join us a little bit later on in the final segment to talk U.S., Mexico, and more. So we got a lot to get after here tonight. Let's go right to some sound here. This is a night where Greg Berhalter starts Gio Reyna, Tyler Adams, Haji Wright, Tim Ream, and Sergino Dest returns to the lineup. So that's five changes from the Jamaica game where the U.S. got an own goal that kept them alive, and then Gio Reyna turned it on in the extra time period, and the U.S. would ultimately win that game 3-1, gave them the shot at Mexico. Mexico had played the best soccer, I think, coming into this final in their win over Panama. Looked pretty fluid in that game. Something told me, though, that Mexico always brings the best out in the U.S. And if you listen to these five players now coming into the lineup, Gio Reyna, Tyler Adams, Sergino Dest, Tim Ream, and Haji Wright, it's like a completely different team, right? So all of those guys played a big part in that. We'll talk about that tonight here. Tyler Adams had a set time he was going to play. Greg Berhalter decided to play him from the start of this game, get the jump on the Mexican national team, and come out strong. Here's Adams in the 45th minute, hit an absolute bomb that beats Guillermo Ochoa.
They turn it back outside for McKennie. Adams in plenty of space. Adams wants a hit! Oh! Tyler Adams with a rocket, and the United States leads
right on the stroke of halftime. So Tyler Adams playing for the first time for the U.S. as a starter since the World Cup. That's the problems he's had with his hamstring. You can't say enough about this guy. We've had him on the show before. His leadership is amazing. He's maturing like crazy. These are not kids anymore now. They are maturing because of the places they're playing in Europe, right? So when you hear Greg Berhalter, well, you know, I've known these kids for a long time. They're not kids anymore. They're maturing, in my mind. And all you have to do is listen to Tyler Adams, and he'll tell you. The celebration was remarkable. A lot of smiles on people's faces, not only for what was at stake playing Mexico in a final, but I think also a lot of guys were just happy for him, seeing him make the comeback, because as everybody knows, injuries can be very lonely, and you question yourself a lot. Gio Reyna, in the first half, sat really, really deep, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But in the second half, after an amazing run from Christian Pulisic along the end line, who scoops the ball over a prone defender, cuts it back, it falls to Reyna, and Reyna delivers in the 63rd.
Pulisic hopping over a challenge. Pulisic fires it in front. Couldn't get a shot away. It's Reyna! Gio Reyna scores for the United States! It's 2-0!
Different team with Gio Reyna. He dropped very deep in the first half. Almost like into a center back position, and he sat there for long periods of the game. It was interesting. At home, I'm thinking, okay, is this by design? Nobody really had much of a comment on that. There is some sound that may reveal a little more on that. We're going to play from Greg Berhalter. But look, this is a young man now that has qualities that we have known that are completely different from anybody else. I think him being on the field is a huge bonus for Christian Pulisic. I also think we saw a buy-in from him defensively in this game. Really didn't know how long he could go. Went about 75, I think, because he's only played 38 minutes at Nottingham Forest. So we'll talk a little bit more about Gio Reyna. But here's Greg Berhalter on Gio Reyna post-match.
I think he had a great performance. You know, 75 minutes, and you know, he hasn't had that much game time in a while. And for him, it was just a mental thing. He was determined to grind through it and power through it. And I thought he was doing really well. And you see, he got to the point right where we're going to take him out, where he actually did cramp up, and it was evident that he needed to come out. But I think all tournament long, more the last two games, I think he did a great job. And you know, certainly, they made a great choice giving player of the tournament or player of this round to Gio, because I think he had a great impact in these two games.
No question about it. In the second half, he got higher up the field. That's how he got his goal. By the way, on that goal, I don't know what you think. I thought that was savable for Guillermo Ochoa. And we're going to get to Mexico as well tonight here. And if there are Mexican fans out there, I want to hear what you're thinking right now. They are taking heavy criticism, as they always do, from the press, except for the Televisa side, which generally doesn't criticize as much. But there are ex-players, there's former players. Tuca Ferretti's weighing in. All kinds of people are weighing in Mexico about a number of topics. Not only that Mexico has not changed much under Jaime Lozano, looks very similar, but, you know, also to selection. Santi Jimenez comes from Feyenoord, scoring a lot of goals there. Still remains behind Henry Martin of Club America. There's always the alluding to the fact that there's meddling going on from the FMF, the Mexican Federation, into picking players in the first team. So we can get into that stuff as well. I find it fascinating. I find it dramatic. And I think it's pretty clear now the U.S. has got more talent at the senior national team level than Mexico. I don't think there's any question. I think there's better depth. I don't know why Santi Jimenez doesn't start. Why do you bring him all the way from Europe for 25 minutes? I mean, if I'm him, I'm getting on that plane going home fuming. Julian Quiñones, I don't know if he was injured or not. I haven't heard anything. That's another guy that should have started. If those two guys are in the lineup for Mexico, it's a different challenge for the U.S. I don't think there's any question. A big thank you to Danish Inspirations, Pitch 25 Beer Garden. Of course, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, Copa America tickets there. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, Lamont Brands, that's where you get your T-shirts and hats to benefit the 501c charity, and Snowdrop Foundation and Cactus Music. Okay, so let's start here. Let's do a rundown of some of the players here. And again, I'd like your thoughts. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. All right. We start with Matt Turner. Protected well in this game. I don't think he had really much to do, Matt Turner. So he was protected well by the United States. Anthony Robinson came back into form after the poor match against Jamaica. Remember, in the beginning of the game, he was asleep, made a huge mistake that led to the opening goal and a challenging night. So he got back to his form. Don't think he joined in as much down the left side as maybe he wanted to. Maybe he didn't need to. Tim Ream, great choice to get him back in the lineup. I think that was an obvious one. Calming presence, mature. Chris Richards gave you the athleticism at the back. Very rarely even challenged by Henry Martin. Again, that takes you back to Sebastian Jimenez and, you know, why he didn't play. Sergiño Dest, he was feeling it. He got forward, took people on off the dribble. It was a threat. That one time he cut in, hit a long-range shot after dribbling a couple of people. He dealt fine with Gallardo getting forward down his side of the field. And with his balance and threat down the right side and width at times. That balances out Pulisic on the other side of the field nicely. Tyler Adams takes the team up a level. There's no question. He's a leader. 45, determined ahead of the game, I believe. And you'll hear Berhalter say that. Bomb from long range. That seared past Ochoa. And then Johnny Cardoso came in for him. So there you go. Just great presence. Can play the six on his own, although dropping off deep in the first half a lot was Gio Reyna. Now, I don't know if that was to gain a little bit more control of the game. Obviously, it was for a build. It was done on purpose. It kept him away from Edson Álvarez, that's for sure. So that was kind of interesting because I thought the U.S. had a good first half. Christian Pulisic nearly scored off one of the times Reyna did get forward in the first half. Kind of a knockdown header, and that put Pulisic in. Mentioned Reyna, Weston McKennie, workmanlike self. Tim Weah could not really get untracked with all his pace. Haji Wright basically wrestled with the center backs of Mexico, Montes and Vasquez, all night long and worked. Not a lot of balls played into strikers from either team, to Martin and or Haji Wright to their feet. But the U.S. is now talented and at the international level and has a deeper bench. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We'll start it off here tonight again at 713-780-3776. Bill, you're on Soccer Matters presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Bill.
How you doing, Glenn? Just wanted to chime in on what you were saying about this this window and this game against Mexico. So I agree with a lot of what you said. I mean, the U.S. looked pretty good, and, you know, getting the win is huge. Some of the areas are still of concern for me. I mean, I know Haji Wright showed very well in the number nine, but I think that area and I think the goal area are the two areas that are the biggest questions for this team. And then I'll just go over to Mexico. You mentioned that there's a lot of people speaking out. I mean, I think they're almost in shambles. And I also think that in the goal, I don't know why they're not bringing somebody through. I mean, Omemo's had a great career and been an outstanding goalkeeper, but I think he's beyond, and they need to look to the future.
All right, Bill, thanks so much for that call. Appreciate that. Well, I think the striker position still is a question mark. There's no doubt. And Fowler and Balogun came in the second half. A lot still going on in that position. Ricardo Pepi, if you're a striker for the U.S. national team and you don't get to play in that game, you know, that hurts. You want to be out there, right? Ricardo Pepi, you know he's missing not getting minutes in that game. Of course, Josh Sargent not called up due to injury. So that's one as well. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number here tonight. This is American Girl, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Hey, Copa America tickets. I mean, look, it's going to become interesting with Mexico. You got Mexico playing up in College Station against Brazil in June. I'm going to that. I'll tell you what. And I'm going to their game against Jamaica because there's a lot of drama. Copa America's coming. Tickets are on sale. Biggest international soccer event. It's returning to the U.S. Energy Stadium's got games. We got three historic matches. Mexico, Jamaica. We've also got Colombia, Paraguay. Now, by the way, I'm thinking and hearing those tickets are selling very quickly. There are tons of Colombian soccer fans in Houston. Tons of them. That is going to be a wild time out there. It's going to be a fun time because the Colombians know how to party. They just beat Spain. Of course, they have Luis Diaz of Liverpool. They are unbeaten in 20. There's a lot going on with Colombia. That's a game you want to go see, Colombia and Paraguay. That's locked in. That's a group game. That's in June. And then you get the winner of the FIFA World Cup champion Argentina's group, and they could very well be coming to Houston to take on the runner-up of Mexico's group in the quarters. That's July 4th. Get your tickets at LoneStarSportsAndEntertainment.net. By the way, we're doing a deep dive Wednesday night on Soccer Matters on the Colombian national team and what's happening with them. But they're in a good place. They play Romania tomorrow. I'm going to watch that game as well, another friendly. And we will do a deep, deep dive on Colombia on Wednesday. All right, let's take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
They turn it back outside for McKenney. Adams in plenty of space. Adams wants a hit! Oh! Tyler Adams with a rocket! And the United States leads!
Little James Brown, Living in America. Godfather of Soul. Oh, the Godfather of Soul. It's great stuff. All right. Did you ever want to watch and experience the closest thing to a live match? If you do, well, it's Pitch 25. Down in Edo, largest soccer beer garden in Houston. It's a place for you. You head over there, 70 screens, 100 beers on tap. They got an indoor soccer field, super cool place. Pitch 25, our good friend Brian Ching down there. Ultimate fan destination. They're going to be showing Copa America, the Euros. You've been there to watch Dynamo games, I'm sure. World Cup qualifying, so head over. 2120 Walker and Edo, Houston's go-to soccer bar. Pitch 25. So here's Greg Berhalter on Tyler Adams' goal. This is soundbite number five. This is interesting because I'm going to tag this with what Jesse Marsh said.
The goal, I mean, the goal was amazing, right? And, you know, he was kind of joking around. Guys think he can't shoot, but I've seen him shoot before, and he's, you know, he has a hard shot. It generally, it has that trajectory where it rises, and, you know, just these balls you can actually hit really hard and are difficult for goalies.
Jesse Marsh, who was on the desk, I think, for CBS, I thought he was interesting, actually, from a coach's perspective. I liked him on there. He said, quote, Tyler Adams, he's never hit a ball like that. And he said he used to lay off balls to him in training. And he just said on there, he's never hit a ball like that. So that was kind of funny. But Tyler Adams, just so important to this U.S. national team. Guillermo Lazo Romero, GLR. All right. Big Mexico fan, big Barcelona fan. I want to know how you're feeling right now about this loss to the U.S. in the Nations League. I think it's 7 undefeated for the U.S. over Mexico right now.
Yeah, and it's all credit to the U.S., you know, because they are truly above Mexico when it comes to level in football. And there's a lot of question marks that were raised up, you know, before the games even started. You talked to me and you assured me, oh, surely Santi Jimenez is going to start, but I knew he probably wasn't. You know,
no, I said he has to start, in my opinion. I knowing the Mexican Federation and their involvement in the team, it's mind blowing to me that he doesn't start.
Yeah, and the obvious choice is for him to be starting, but you know, these kinds of things happen, and it's just not really fair to the players. You know, Jaime Lozano, after the match, he came out and said that the quality on the field is not better because we just don't have Mexican players in Europe like the United States does. You know, they've excelled and they've put themselves in difficult positions when, you know, these Mexican teams and Mexican players don't really either give them chances or they just don't want to leave.
Okay, so stop right there. You brought a great point up, and let's talk about that. So the next question is an obvious why. And there's two reasons why. Sometimes Mexican clubs block players from leaving, don't get the fees they wanted when it comes to the transfer. But a lot of times, and we've heard this for many, many years, is the safety net of being paid well and being at home in Mexico and not taking the risk to go over and play in Europe. And, you know, like I mentioned before, Guillermo, this is not a bunch of babies anymore. You know, these aren't little coddled little young guys that we're trying to accelerate their development. These guys are amassing a lot of experience under duress and tough conditions at places like Juventus, Chelsea, AC Milan. I mean, these are big clubs with fan bases that will let you know if you're not playing well. So I think that's probably a very big piece of that, as long as the FMF's involvement in Mexico and Mexican soccer. So carry on.
Yeah, I mean the production or the players on the field for Mexico. There was a couple of names for sure. Edson Alvarez. He is the type of player that fits the modern player that should be jumping to those European clubs. You know,
well, he's also a Premier League player.
Yes,
so he was the real leader.
Exactly. You know, he went in from America to Ajax, didn't really get the starting position, and you can tell that he worked on himself. He got better at the game. He became a center back, then a CDM, and now a starter at West Ham. And that is that mentality that most Mexican players lack, and then on top of the other clubs and, like, not letting them leave, and that we already spoke about.
Yeah, good. Good. So, strangely, Jaime Lozano, by the way, who was interviewed by the Houston Dynamo, does not start Julian Quiñones. Now, I don't know if you know, Guillermo, was he injured? Because I just look at Mexico's team. If he's on the field and Jimenez is on the field, that's a much different challenge for the U.S., in my opinion. So Jimenez flies from Europe and the Netherlands to play 25 minutes. Mexican media is asking for an explanation. There's criticism coming from all media outlets, ex-national team players. Tuca Ferretti came out and complimented the United States and their advancement in the game and the way they're playing. You know, the other thing that they're hitting Jaime Lozano was, you know, the media saying, look, you were supposed to change things. You said you were going to change things. And many people are saying this still looks like Tata Martino's squad. Like I said before, there's always the whispers of the involvement of Televisa and having say in player selection and favoring, dare I say it, Club America players. Chucky Lozano after the game said the team got the team wrong. I don't know if that was a direct shot at Jaime Lozano, and I'm not sure if it meant tactics or personnel or both. Maybe it was both. That was in the mixed zone. They don't seem to be advancing younger talent. Malagón's a choice and goal that many people would like to see. Under 23s, I don't know, not really getting opportunity. Mexico twice will come to Houston, Jamaica in the Copa America, and then prior to that, against Brazil at Texas A&M. I mean, I'm going to both of those because I think there's going to be huge, huge drama with Mexico now and really following this. They said the Mexican Federation guys, executives, were at the game and they left the stadium early in Arlington. That doesn't bode really very well, but yeah, I think the U.S. really showing a distinct advancement above Mexico now. No question about it. But I'm going to be at both of them. I want to see that Brazil game, which, by the way, Brazil-England was a great friendly. Brazil ended up winning that. But that was a fantastic friendly. Harry Kane obviously didn't play in that. But Endrick, the 17-year-old, came on, who's going to end up going to Real Madrid in the summer, scored the game winner in the 80th. But Brazil looked good. And that was a really good competitive game between England and Brazil. England obviously taking a lot of stick from the media and their fan base as well. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Anything else stand out to you, Guillermo, from the U.S.-Mexico game?
Honestly, I you've talked about this several times, but Tyler Adams, man, like, as a Mexico fan myself, like, I can only respect this guy. Like, that's the type of player that I would want on my team. The leader in the midfield, the personality, and the fact that he played 45 minutes made such an impact. You know, it was because he was injured and his club, and that's what they had decided on. But truly, every time I watch Tyler Adams play, it's always a good sight.
Boy, you want him across you in a locker room. All right, so, you know, we had the debacle with Greg Berhalter, Gio Reyna, crazy stuff that Reyna's parents did, which still is a head shaker to me. But I'm not going to digress there because this was positive. This looks like Gio Reyna maturing. Here's Greg Berhalter on getting past the Reyna situation from the World Cup.
When I took over the team, again, I talked about needing time, right? And that was just something that we both acknowledged. And the more you work together, and the more that, you know, he believed that intentions were true, and that we, all, the whole staff has the, you know, his best interest in mind. I think we started to gain trust, and we were very patient with it. You know, the, I've spoken so much about how talented he is, and how he can you know, unlock defenses, and he just has these qualities that are really good. And I also believe, and I've said this before, that he can be a midfielder. You know, and I think that's, you know, the next evolution for him, because he can control the tempo so well of a game, and he can make final passes. And when he gets the ball in pockets in transition, and he's a good finisher and he's a good final passer. So he's got a ton of qualities, and we're really hoping that, like many players we spoke about before, they use this as momentum to take back to their clubs and really kick on, you know, the second half of the, or the rest of the season.
So one thing's for sure. We all know he's unique, and he can do things that is totally going to enhance this team. He can do things and thread the final ball. He just has that effortless way of playing the game that we all wish we had, or if we don't have it, which is a lot of people. His father was the same way. Very soft feet, almost like he's in slow motion. The game slows down when the ball's at his feet. But he did do some dogged defensive work in that game, which that to me was a big sign. Also a big sign was the way he dealt with the interview after the game. Passed on some gratitude to teammates, things like that. I mean, he was a baby in the World Cup, let's face it. I mean, there's no better words. I mean, it's like a little baby that needed a timeout in the corner. He's matured now, and you have to give him that credit. This is good for the national team. Now, the biggest thing for me with him is, can he remain durable? Can he be healthy? I don't think he might be less than 1,000 minutes the last 3 years or in and around that. So durability is going to be a real, real key. And I hope he goes back, and I hope Nottingham Forest will get him involved in trying to help make them maintain status quo and avoid relegation. I hope that. Sarah Clapson from the Nottingham Post, who I had on, I exchanged some emails with her today, and she was like real impressed, and you know, with what he did for the U.S. And you know, she's like, "Ah, it's going to be interesting to see what Nuno Espirito Santo, the coach of Nottingham Forest, does with him now that he comes back. Does that give him a little bit more confidence to give him more minutes? They need it, so we'll see what happens there. So we talk a lot about the big clubs in Europe and our players over there, and taking gambles on that. Listen, Weston McKennie, he went straight over. Some guys, though, did develop, and technically he developed in MLS because it was FC Dallas. I'm watching the under-23s today, Tanner Tessman, FC Dallas. I can't wait till the time here in Houston that we get a high-profile player out of the Dynamo Academy that not only produces real minutes for the first team here in Houston, but also one day represents the U.S. In big games at some of these levels. Let's go to the phone lines and Myron. Myron, what's on your mind?
Hey, man, what's going on, guys? Three-time champions, all right? I think Gio Reyna is the next Kaká. I'll take your answer offline. Thank you.
Well, he does have some tendencies like Kaká. Kaká played pretty effortlessly. He did play with really soft feet. Got a long way to go to be Kaká. But I like the bar being set high by Myron there, so that's good. I like that. But I do think, again, durability, injury-free is important. I also thought it was pretty interesting. He got a straight-legged tackle in on Edson Álvarez. I don't think he meant to do it, but that, to me, kind of said something also, that, you know, he was involved. He was getting into that. The first half, he pulled so deep, I don't really know if that was just about to maintain tempo, if that was for the build, but it does keep your best or one of your best, along with Christian Pulisic, attacking players away from goal. Second half, he got closer to goal, scored a goal. So there you go. Copa America is a big deal. I think the U.S., the bar has to be semifinals, no less. You got to get to the semifinals. It's here in the U.S., it's the same thing with the World Cup in 2026. Here's the U.S. manager, Greg Berhalter, on the Copa America this summer. We have games right here in Houston.
I think the Copa America, we're going to see the guys focus because we realize what a big opportunity this is for us. And, I'm confident that even though they had a long season in their legs, and I talked last, press conference about, sometimes we're too hard on these guys because they do their best and they can't always play at the top levels. They're under so much pressure at their clubs and they're traveling across the country. You know, I think 8 of our starters in the last game arrived on Monday night. You're turning around, you're playing Thursday. It's not the easiest thing. I think that when Copa America comes around, we're going to have a good training camp. We know we play 2 very good friendlies. I mean, Colombia is on fire right now. Brazil just had a big win. And then we go and battle through the group stage and hope to get to the knockout stage and compete for a championship.
Did you hear that from Berhalter? Colombia's on fire. And they're here in Houston against Paraguay. LSSE.net to get tickets. I'm looking forward to watching them tomorrow, although they'd be heavy favorites against Romania. They got a 1-0 victory against Spain. It wasn't a full Spain team, but we're going to go over them on Wednesday. And the fact that the U.S. is playing them is excellent. I absolutely love that. Brad Smith got the late game winner for the Houston Dynamo in Colorado, 6 points in 2 games. They will take on the San Jose Earthquakes this weekend at home. And guess what? I got a pair of tickets right now. It's 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets. Houston Dynamo, San Jose Dynamo looking for a 3rd win in a row Saturday at Shell Energy Stadium. Tab Ramos, the former U.S. international, is up next.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, LamontBrands.com. Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats that benefits the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. All the proceeds go there to fight pediatric cancer and provide scholarships for cancer patients. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10. Markey Entertainment Center, daily specials, whiskey and beer offerings. They're off the charts out there. They got great traditional English pub food. Trust me, I've tried all of them. Bangers and mash, fish and chips, shepherd's pie. Go in there, say hello to David. The place is pristine. Great spot for watching this summer's Copa America or the Euros. Or it's the home of Houston Liverpool supporters group. All right, we saved the best for last tonight. We go to the East Coast, and we go to former Houston Dynamo head coach, also U.S. international, played 81 times, I believe, for the U.S., 8 goals, played in World Cups, played in Spain, played in Mexico with Tigres. He is Tab Ramos. He joins us now. Tab, how are you?
Wow, I'm the best you have. It's been a rough show.
No. You're always a high benchmark for me. You know that. Don't say that. No self-deprecation. You're a high bar. Trust me.
It's always
fun, and I enjoyed all your transparency when you were the head coach of the Dynamo in your time down here. So, Tab, let's just get from a former international and one of those, in my opinion, one of the most creative players ever produced here in the United States. Your thoughts on the U.S. Game over Mexico?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, overall, it was a great performance from the team. The team came out with a foot forward from the beginning. I mean, obviously, we can also talk about Mexico and its deficiencies, but I think, at the end of the day, you have to play with intensity because it's a final, and I think the team did that, and I was very happy to see that.
When you look at these younger guys, and you've worked with a lot of these guys, the Tyler Adamses of the world, it's so fascinating for me to watch these young guys now from the time the U.S. didn't qualify for the 2018 World Cup to now where, we talked, okay, these young guys are going to get accelerated development, but it's amazing to watch and see these guys harden and mature.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that their pathway has been a good one. Most of them have been in great environments for the last few years, and this team is maturing. And players, you can tell that each one of them wants to take on responsibility. And I think it's a team that fights fights well together. And, you know, I think they've shown that in particular against Mexico, which is, you know, the toughest opponent in CONCACAF. And they've shown, you know, that we have the strongest team.
For you, let's just pop on a couple of players. I mean, obviously, one of the big storylines is Gio Reyna. I thought from an overall perspective, this game, down to the way he interviewed after the game, I see some maturity. I don't see, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, maybe the baby I saw in the World Cup. Now I see somebody who looks like he is maturing, and, boy, that would be a wonderful asset for Greg Berhalter and the team if it continues.
No question about that. I mean, obviously, he's also getting older. You know, I think this year, you know, he will already be 22. You know, so he's a player that's maturing. And I think young players, they all make mistakes at different times. And obviously, we all have gone as players through times where you think you're going to take over the world and where you're right about everything. And your way to do things is the only way to do it. And, you know, and as you mature, you realize you're part of a team a little bit more. And you realize how important your teammates are and all of those things. And I think he's shown a lot more maturity. You and I discussed, I think last time I was on, we discussed, you know, his move in particular to England and how that could, although we didn't think, I think we agreed on that we didn't think that was the best move, but we thought that if he could succeed there, that would help him a lot. Obviously, he hasn't shown that yet. Obviously, we haven't seen Gio Reyna play 90-minute games week after week anywhere for the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. So I think he needs to find a place now after this season's over. He likely needs to find a place. I personally like to see him in, you know, in Italy or in the Netherlands, you know, somewhere where he can play 90-minute games week after week and see how good he can get.
Yeah, I like that idea. Tab Ramos joining us here. Remember, he was the first signing in Major League Soccer for the Metro Stars back when the league began. I watched that piece where he just kind of dropped into almost like the left center back position. And he sat there for a large portion of the first half, and Greg Berhalter alluded to that as design. Other than being a part of the buildup from there and helping to control the game from there, put your coaching hat on as always, Tab, and what did you see from that, and what did you think about that when you saw it?
No, I think what I liked about that is that I thought the U.S. team was well prepared for what Mexico was going to throw at them. You know, Mexico actually, you know, gave the U.S. the ball. And because of that, you can have the luxury of having someone like, you know, like Gio come back and receive that far. You know, had Mexico played a little bit more up the field, had they played high pressure or had they played with a lot more intensity going forward, then it would be a lot more difficult. But since Mexico was happy to sit back and counter every once in a while, it was almost the perfect, you know, it was almost the perfect game plan to counter them with someone like Gio, who can, you know, he has very good vision, he has great feet, he can pick teams apart when he has time on the ball. And, you know, Mexico gave him the time on the ball, and that made it easy for him.
Yeah, he was picking some wonderful passes out. We're talking to Tab Ramos. You know how times have changed, right? I just heard you say, basically, Mexico dropping off and conceding the ball to the United States.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's completely different, certainly, than the way it used to be, or certainly, you know, going way back to when I played. But even if you went back only, you know, 10, 15 years ago, the game was much different. You know, and now this is the part where I think we have to discuss Mexico, too. I mean, you know, Mexico is really... Let's just forget, you know, normally when I look at teams, I try to look player by player and see, okay, how many players from one team can actually start for the other team? And you have a lot of your solutions, you come from that, right? And when I look at this Mexico team, I mean, I can see someone arguing that maybe Edson Alvarez could potentially start for the U.S., but I wouldn't pick him over Tyler Adams. I wouldn't pick him over McKinney. So I think there's really no one from the Mexico team that would start over the U.S. team. And I think I don't think you would be even close anywhere in years ago where you could even contemplate saying something like that. You would say the opposite.
how many U.S. players could actually play for the Mexico team, and the pass is the way I would see it, right? And so, but it's not just the national team, because I think the, you know, Mexican players, I thought, played as well as they could play yesterday. You know, there were moments where they just, I just think they were overmatched by the U.S. team. They were overmatched by better players, and you could see it by their nerves when they passed the ball, as you saw it in Glenn. You've seen a lot of these matchups. I don't think I'd ever seen Mexican players just pass the ball straight out of bounds, and I saw that a couple of times. I saw how many times in the first half they couldn't connect three or four passes together before finding Ochoa, so then Ochoa had to just kick a ball 60 yards up the field. That's just, you know, I think when you're overmatched, you start doing that, and I think yesterday they were overmatched. But you know, without going for too long, this is not just this team. You know, you look at the Mexico program, it's a program that didn't qualify for the Olympics. They didn't qualify for the under-20s. They went to the World Cup in 2022, didn't get out of the first round for the first time in 40 years. So it's a program that has been on the decline, and that's not good. It need, they need a lot of help at this point.
So I love the way you framed that with, you know, U.S. players that could go into their team, and that there's no one that you really see from the Mexican national team moving in. So I want to just talk about Jimenez of Feyenoord. I mean, this kid flew all the way here to play 25 minutes. Everybody's clamoring for him to play. He doesn't play. Henry Martin always plays over him. And then I still don't know if Julio Quiñones was injured, the naturalized Colombian. But I think if those two guys are in Mexico, it's a little bit more threatening team. Are you surprised that Sebastian Jimenez is not playing for Mexico?
Well, look, the one thing I always say about coaches, because it's always easier to coach someone else's team, right? Yeah. And the one thing I say about coaches is they always want to win games. So when they don't put a player in, it's because they think they can win without him. And so I think the game plan for him was, you know, to play Martin up top. And I think, you know, I can't take into consideration that, you know, that Jimenez comes from all the way from the Netherlands and plays 25 minutes, because that's, you know, that's part of being on the national team. As far as Quiñones is concerned, I think he might have been injured for all I read. Because I think he would have likely helped a lot, because physically he would have been able to match up.
Yeah.
I think physically he would have been able to be a handful for depth on that side, and likely would have kept him a lot more honest and a lot more further back, on U.S. side of the field, and he would have been a threat on that counter. But unfortunately we didn't get to see that, and what we saw was really not much from the Mexico team.
Yeah, and Des did get forward pretty nicely in this game. So, yeah, that's a great point. So what do you think it is with Mexico? Is it the lack of desire to go to Europe? Is it the clubs don't release these guys? I mean, well, why is this program nosedive so much?
Well, I think, you know, I can go back. And, you know, the problem is not now. The problem is what I think has been created for a lot of years now. You know, we used to talk 10 years ago with the youth national teams how our players, you know, and obviously Jurgen Klinsmann had a lot to do with this, with opening doors in Germany for a lot of players to go. We used to talk a lot about how Mexican players don't go overseas because the Mexican Liga MX paid so well, and for players to go overseas, it would require a lot of money. And since they didn't have European passports, teams weren't going to take a chance on such younger players, and in particular because they were from Mexico, and Mexican players had not really proven to be so successful overseas. Of course, there's Hugo Sanchez, you know, who is one of the best players ever to go overseas from anywhere in the world. But in general, I think that was the problem. It's taken so long because the Liga MX has been such a rich league over so many years that the young players stayed home. And because they stayed home, they stayed comfortable. And I think a lot of the European-based players that we have on our team now will tell you that when you go to Europe, there's nothing comfortable. You have to earn your position every week. And that's a good environment to be in.
Dab Ramos joining us, born in Montevideo, Uruguay, played at Tigres. We have Tigres coming to Houston, Tab, as you know, to play Inter-Miami in the Leagues Cup. What do you think of that? This is obviously Tigres country down here, so Obviously, I think there's going to be 50, 60,000 probably at that game, if not more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tigres is a great club, a club I always root for, and so I'll be rooting for them in that game against Miami, and I always, you know, wish for the best for them. And I think, to be fair, you know, when I look at both teams and how they're playing right now, I think Tigres should likely advance.
Tab, what's going on with you? I think everybody down here in Houston would like to know what's going on with you, coaching director. What's happening with you right now in the world of Tab Ramos?
At the moment, it's a little bit of a pause for me. You know, I'm trying to, you know, in a couple businesses here at home that I've had for a long time. You know, as you know, even when I coached in Houston, you know, my family stayed here and I had my home, you know, has remained here all this time. I had an opportunity to go back to New England to continue the role that I had this year, but I decided to just stay home. So at the moment, I'm just staying here. I'm seeing what's gonna come up over the next few months, and not really in a hurry to jump back in. I think I've learned a lot being off the field, and obviously I enjoyed all my experiences that I've had.
Okay, so that's interesting because that's self-introspection. What have you learned since you're kind of away from it? Because I know you're a guy that wants to be on the fields, there's no question. But maybe what have you learned? That would be interesting to know.
I mean, I don't know how much show we have. but I've learned a lot. Obviously, Houston was my first job. I learned a lot there. You know, I when I met with ownership at Houston, and obviously that's the past ownership, not the current. We talked about, you know, Houston had been coming from a coach, which is Wilmer, which was a very defensive coach. By the way, Wilmer's a great friend and an excellent coach and maybe 100 times better than me as a coach. But he was very defensive and counter because we did have Elise and Kyoto and Minotas up top, and he liked playing the counter. And I know that one of the things we talked about in Houston was, you know, when I came in for my interview was how, you know, I in particular was a lot different because I wanted a high press and I wanted to play a different kind of game. And I did that. And I think one of the fairest things I can say about when I was there is I stuck to my word and tried to high press all the teams. And unfortunately, we got caught on the counter a lot in the last 10 minutes of the game and ended up losing or tying a lot of the games. And it didn't work out. And I think one of the things I would have done different there is change, right? Because I think it comes a time. It comes a time where no matter, you know, how you think, you know, your best system is, I think you have to adapt a little bit better to the players you have. And I don't think I did that as well as I could have. I think I could have done better. I enjoyed the players there. I think they gave me everything they had, and I enjoyed the city and the fans. And as you can see from my feed on Twitter, you know, in Houston wins, I'm excited and I'm happy for them, and I have no hard feelings there because that's the way it went. But that's part of the learning process. You know, fortunately now I had a chance to be in New England, which was a little bit of a different team, more veteran team. It was a winning team. And I learned a lot there too. You know, players took a lot more responsibility there, and players were a little bit more used to winning there. So the coaching had to be a little bit less. And it helped me as assistant coach to prepare for other teams and to see what other teams are doing more. Sometimes as a head coach, you have so many things to do that you don't get as involved in the scouting of other teams. And I got the opportunity to do that with New England, and I really enjoyed it. So it's been a great learning experience for me so far.
Tab, we always appreciate your time on the show. Thanks very much. You're welcome here anytime, and you are a bar raiser on the show, so don't ever forget that. Thanks for coming on tonight.
All right. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you for having me on.
All right, great stuff there with Tab Ramos. That's going to end the night here. We come back again on Wednesday, and Wednesday we're going to do a deep dive on the Colombian national team. We're really going to go around a very hot Colombia who's going to come to Houston to take on Paraguay in the Copa America. So June 22nd, we got Mexico, Jamaica. June 24th, Colombia and Paraguay. July 4th, the quarterfinal. And then, of course, the World Cup. We've got games 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six, seven World Cup games in Houston in 2026. So you want some of that World Cup fever, get to the Copa America. By the way, a quick shout out here to to Houston Dash goalkeeper Jane Campbell, outstanding in the home opener. The Dash next at Bay FC. Jane Campbell had 10 saves, 160 starts for the Houston Dash, a one-club career player right now, and was last year the goalkeeper of the year. So big shout-out to Jane Campbell. That's it for me tonight. For Guillermo Lazo Romero, podcast at Spotify, Apple, and Google, ESPN975.com. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Sock. Good night, everyone.